The regular season is done. We are ready to leave it behind as we look towards finals footy. But MG, one last time, we need to do a little bit of like that and dislike that from round 20.
One of my favourite podcasts ever.
What do you want to start with today?
I want to start with dislikes.
Okay.
I don't like the hip drop tackle at all. As I said in the show tonight, it's the first time I've seen it, and I hope it's the last time I see it because it's a nasty piece of work. Serious injury will entail if you keep that practice up. I don't know if they're coaching it. I don't know what's going on, but I don't want to see it again. It was ugly.
The thing about it, MG, that it just grabbed my eye was that it looked like such a learned manoeuvre. You know, it really did look as though Max King, you could see the wheels turning as he went, well, I'll grab here, drop down here, and then I can leverage all my weight. And
all I can say is I hope not. Because if any, and that's Craig Bellamy you're talking about, if he's coaching that, I doubt it, that he is. I don't know what to expect. It's an awful, awful looking tackle. It's like the cannonball when you go in and attack someone's lower legs. If it looked premeditated, even if it wasn't, I get where you're coming from. I really do. But I just don't think Bellamy would be coaching that style of footy.
And I'm with you. I don't think Craig Bellamy is, and I agree with his post-match comments to the media, which is none of his players go out with an intention to, you know, badly injure an opposition. And I believe that across the game as well. But this is a physical sport.
Yeah.
And there's a duty of care that needs to be taken from both sides. So a horrible, horrible look. And I think the NRL has a great opportunity. You've got
to make a statement.
Really obvious incident where they can come out and smash it and clubs go, hey, boys, don't do this because it's going to cost you weeks on the sideline and we can't afford that.
The only thing I will say in Max King's defence, if there is any defence, is that his ring rust was evident. He hasn't played much footy this year.
That's a good point.
He's going in. He's trying to do his bit for the team. He's trying to do as best as he can and got caught in a tackle with Cameron Smith and Christian Welsh. And, yeah, we don't want to see that tackle ever again.
I thought fingers crossed for Blake Laurie as well. Hopefully, you know, the injury recovers nicely. And he doesn't spend too much time in rehab as a result. All right.
Again, we spoke about it in the show tonight, the alleged racism levelled at Tyrone Peachy. Like that tackle we just spoke about, the hip drop tackle, there is no place whatsoever in the game for any sort of racism.
Yep.
And I'll leave it at that.
Can I jump on the back of it with a bit of this? I'd like that. I love that Tyrone Peachy said something. Now, I think the game, it demonstrates the point that the game has got to, and sport in Australia has got to around this conversation.
You feel comfortable enough to say something,
Because I don't know, MG, would players in your era have confronted the referee over a comment like that said at the bottom of a tackle?
We saw Nathan Blacklock recently come out and say that in his time that, you know, there was racism when he was playing at other players, Indigenous players in the other teams, and they were calling him names in his own dressing room. And that was evident. You know, that was but these days we know right from wrong more. We're taught more. We're educated more and on a lot of things, and especially racism. There's zero tolerance for it.
Yeah, and so you and I will never know what it is like for Tyrone Peachy to have to be called that, or allegedly be called that, or have to put his hand up and go and tell an official, this is what's just been said to me. But I can only imagine how difficult it must be to do that in your place of work. So to Tyrone Peachy, you tip your lid and you say bravo.
Nice.
And the NRL, for Andrew Abdo and everybody being aggressive and proactive and investigating this to the full extent, and you hope that the right outcome is arrived at. I don't like...
The Roosters defence. Oh, my Atlanta. 60 points in a game is... He's a worrying sign, a week out from semis, but the more worrying sign in stat is that no team has ever won after conceding 50 in the regular season. And they say that stats are made to be broken, and if anyone can break them, well, they're the Roosters of the current era. But that leaves a lot of scar tissue. And I get the fact that, you know, that Manu and Morris weren't on that right side. Mm. So that'll be bolstered this weekend, but still, it's... It's a very strange
stat, that 50-point one. Like, you know, I guess it just says that if your defence is suspect to the point where you can have this much piled on you, you don't have a defence that's capable of standing up. The impact of that from a an against perspective, the Roosters heading into the round, I think their defence was, you know, top four in the competition. From a point scored against, that drops them into the bottom four of the top eight. Like it, they now have a worse defence than the Raiders, Eels, Storm, Panthers, and they're only just better than the Rabbitohs. So it did do some damage from a statistical perspective. But you mentioned Morris and Manu. You're essentially completely changing your right side defence there with a centre and a winger.
Oh, and that was very well targeted by Cody Walker and co, because they realised that Ikevalu had been out for a couple of weeks and Orbison is not a centre anymore, and they exposed it, pure and simple. And that's what good teams do. That's what attacking teams do. But I'm worried by the fact that they were complacent in a game which had so much value in it,
okay.
The Roosters.
Like it. I don't like.
Brisbane's first ever wooden spoon. I know a lot of people were cheering and saying that it's the best thing that's ever happened, but it's not good for the game when such a juggernaut like the Broncos come last. It's commercially, it's not good. For growth, it's not good. And we need a thriving Queenslander teams in our competition for us to have a healthy Origin series. We need a healthy across the border against the Cowboys, the Titans and the Broncos. We need them all firing, just like we need the Sydney clubs as well. So, but that's not, I someone's got to get the wooden spoon, and to be frank, I'd rather the Broncos got it instead of the Bulldogs, because I think the Bulldogs tried harder this year. But long term, Broncos, let's go, no more of them.
I think you summed it up beautifully, MG. I don't.
And lastly, the Sharks' form, as we mentioned in the show tonight, leading into the finals. Possibly the worst team ever to play finals footy as far as stats go. Everything is just abominable. Their defence, they've won 10, they've lost 10. They haven't beaten one team above them in the eight. You watch them come out and beat the Raiders this weekend.
Yeah.
You just feel something in the water, don't you? I don't know. But they're very lucky, as you mentioned in the show tonight, Liam, to make the eight. But then now that they're in the eight, well, another eight teams aren't.
Absolutely.
So they can say that they are.
Yeah, people can say they're lucky to be there, but the reality is they won enough games to get them there. So, I will say, MG, you look at you've never seen a better case for a wild card game than Titans v Sharks.
Oh,
I think we talked about this. We touched on this briefly, but the form of the Gold Coast Titans, every single top eight side would be glad that they've fallen short.
Oh, they're on a roll. Time to go solo. Rolling in my 5.0, my rag top down so my hair can blow.
In fact, let's get
AJ Brimson. AJ Brimson is ice baby.
Let's get into it. I'd like that. AJ Brimson.
AJ Brimson, AJ Brimson, AJ Brimson. He's playing. He's in the top three players in the competition at the minute, because every time he touches the ball, you've got to watch. And he is just a ball of energy. That he's so humble as well. Being interviewed after the game, I love the way he plays. I love the way he backs up his forwards. I love the way he cover defends. I love the way he gets the ball in the full. I just love AJ Brimson. There, I've said it.
He's a cheat code, MG. The kids would call him a cheat code.
A cheat code.
A cheat code.
Why is a cheat code?
Well, like, because on a computer game.
Oh, he's, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's that good.
99 ability and everything.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you speak the lingo.
I always do that myself when I'm playing like a PlayStation game of, NFL or basketball or golf. I make sure I put my player and, put him in and make sure everything's 99%.
Do you give yourself hair?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
A big long ponytail.
Yeah, right. So it's early '90s MG playing. Yeah,
it's not even that. It's probably me at 70. when I grow hair, I've got out, and it's a bit like Billy Birmingham. I'm going to look like when I'm about 70, 75.
I don't know how we arrived here, but I think the point is MG, AJ
Titans
Brimson,
and AJ Brimson and the Titans.
Kevy Walters, it's a pretty quick phone call as far as. Get your backside into the Origin bubble, AJ.
He's already spoken to him, and rightly so, because he'll be. Well, Kevy Walters may not be the Origin coach this year.
Oh, that's well. No, I think he'll coach this year. It's next year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's this year. Okay.
Well, we don't know if the Broncos thing's official yet. That's just quickly. And how often do I get to sit and celebrate the Gold Coast Titans? Not very much.
Hey, it's your stage,
I will more next year. That second try, the length of the field, the solo effort.
Doom, doom, doom,
where he stood up Kalen Ponga. I mean, Kalen Ponga, in his defence, had a whole field of play to cover, but it was
electric. Not many other players would have done that in the whole competition. Maybe a handful, if that.
22 years of age, Justin Holbrook would just be...
He's their marquee player, brother. A lot was spoken about Fifita and... Jai Arrow, was spoken a couple of years ago about him, but he's now their main man. Mm. AJ Brimson is their barometer, and guess what? Taylor plays better with him as well, and Fogarty's playing great at half.
Yep.
Hey, forwards are all running hard at
last.
Hey,
Brandon Smith, just jump on a plane, mate. Come and get involved.
You'd be almost premiership
favourites. Come and get involved, mate. Come and get involved.
I like that Cam McGuinness has been called into the Origin squad. I love that. I think that's... Freddie, well done, because he must have been watching this guy closely. By far, and I mean by far, the best Dragon this year. Every week he gives his all, and whether he's playing in the number 9 or the number 13 jersey, this guy is Origin. I wouldn't have any qualms about him being in the 17 for Origin.
What has he been brought in as? Because
utility. I would say utility. Yeah. I'd say a back row, 13 or a 9, or I suppose you could even play halfback if you had to. Yeah. But I think it's more of an acknowledgement of great form that he's been given it. Look, he's probably long odds to make the 17, but the fact that he's in there means that he's got a fighting chance if things go his way, and i.e. injuries.
Mm. Well, he was the Plagans Player of the Year again. So he has had an outstanding season.
He's by far their best. And he's just – you see what Mary said about him after he vacated the premises and about getting his jersey presented to him. He said, it's the best present I've ever gotten in my life.
There you go. Well done, Cam McInnes. Well done, Freddie, for picking him. I'd like that.
Cody Walker's freestyle rugby league. Oh, man. What a sight. What a sight. Just watching him turning the Roosters inside out, upside down, and just doing it with frequent monotony. He's just he's in better form now than when he played Origin. And there's going to be a dead set race on for the number 6. It depends on who goes the furthest. If the Roosters happen to just go out and strike sets, like a lot of people think they're doing, I don't. But if the last week's form's anything to go on, well, Cody Walker will be the 5'8 for New South Wales, and Luke Keary will have to wait again. So Luke Keary wants a change of direction for his team to get that coveted sky blue jersey, but there's one bloke who says, well, not on my watch, and that's Cody Walker at the minute.
On that form, MG, Rabbitohs have the second best halves pairing heading into the finals.
Yes.
Probably you have to give the nod to your Panthers with Cleary and Luai.
I agree.
But on that form, Cody Walker and Josh Reynolds sit second easy, I would have thought, if Cody Walker's playing like that.
You've got to if you've got a forward pack who can just hold their own, and sometimes that's harder than you think, then the Rabbitohs have got a team that could hold their own. Don't forget they did this without Jaden Sewer, who's probably their best forward, which makes it even more impressive.
Mm.
So then they've got the back line. If you've got the halves that can create, like these two can, like Penrith's Luai and Cleary can, well, the rest is easy. You know, it's confidence is just going through the roof at the minute at Redfern, and they're a joy to watch. And let's hope they can contain that and be consistent throughout the semis, because it's more than a three-man or three-team race. They've jumped into the race big time.
Yeah. Good luck to any sides that come up against the Rabbitohs if Cody Walker spots a deficiency in your defence. Good luck.
Yeah, that was bamboozlement. I'd like that. Panthers 15 straight. Just quickly, I've got to touch on it.
Oh,
1975, the Roosters won 19 in a row. A bit of a tidbit here. They lost their first finals game after winning 19 in a row. Then went on and won the comp. Could history repeat for the Panthers? I don't know. But 15 straight is even hard to say, let alone write it down on a bit of paper and say it out loud. 15 games straight in the NRL is Herculean. So, well done to the Mountain Men.
MG, before you get to your last one.
Yes.
Kieran Foran back to Manly. I like it.
Oh, yeah. I think he does too. Yeah. I like it a lot. It's great for him. It's fantastic that he can find, you know, his home again. He's obviously Desi and DCE are there waiting for him with open arms. And so you've got some young halves in Schuster and Cade Cust, who I think Cade Cust will probably be nine along with Foran next year for them. But, yeah, I think it's nice. It's a nice story, which doesn't happen often. You don't get to really – like, look at Benji Marshall at the moment. Compare him and Kieran Foran's you know, at the end of their careers, which Kieran Foran is closing in on his, but he gets to do it in his way. Benji, unfortunately, didn't.
To some extent, Benji's already had his fairy tale by getting back to the Tigers after he left, you know, and he said as much after the game on Saturday night against the Eels, and disappointing to see the way Benji finished up with the injury and all the rest of it. But I think Kieran Foran, there'd be so many little things that could have gotten in the way of this happening. I think Kieran, for his family, I think they're up on the Central Coast, and the opportunity to stay there where he's settled and hopefully get maybe at least another year or two out of himself, back under the watchful guise of the guy who has guided him to his best football in Des Hasler. And as you say, DCE alongside him, they won a comp together, they know what it's all about. It's fantastic for that. All right,
I like that.
One more to finish. I'd like that.
And finally, a lot of people will agree with this sentiment, the Warriors season. Yeah. Bravo to all concerned. Todd Payton, when he took Steve Kearney, first of all, who made the plunge and come across the ditch, unknown, with a suitcase, with their boots. They lobbed at the Star of the Sea with Bobby Lloyd up there, and for 5 months they made that their home. And what a home they made, because they made such a dent on this competition that they will be, hopefully, they will be a force to be reckoned with next year. They come 10th on 16 points after that win on the weekend. So, Warriors, well done. And we tip our lid to you. We salute you. And we love the way that you sacrificed a lot to make our competition what it was.
Couldn't agree more, MG, and I think it's been what I think. Don't think you'd find a person in the NRL who disagreed or follows the NRL who disagreed with it. I know the NRL already has the Ken Stephen Medal, which recognises the efforts of NRL player off the field from a community project perspective, and it's a tremendous award and one that any player who is lucky enough to win, it should take pride of place. I wonder if there is an opportunity, because I honestly feel like the Warriors' contribution to this NRL season needs to be remembered in perpetuity, if that makes sense. I don't feel like it would be fair if in 2 or 3 years' time we've forgotten what they did to make this competition survive in this time. I wonder if there's an opportunity for a Warrior Award. I don't know. If there's a player or an official or a person or somebody in the competition
who's gone above and beyond,
made sacrifices for a club, for the league, for their junior footy club. The Warrior Award, I think, would be a very nice way to acknowledge the contribution that the New Zealand Warriors have made to the 2020 NRL season.
Let's start it right here, right now.
All right, we might find a way to do that. Hey,
we want it. We want the Warrior Award as a what's the word I'm looking for each year? It's a
perpetual trophy.
Trophy that you can win each year.
All right, there it is. Likes and dislikes. Regular season. That's it. Done. No more of that, MG. No more regular season likes and dislikes.
But we're going to have some finals footy to dissect next week, because I'm going to like a lot of things from the finals and I'm going to dislike a lot of things from the finals as well.
Here's a question without notice. Should we up it? Should we up our game next week and it becomes the love and hate podcast? Because it's finals.
I tell my kids hate's a really vicious word.
Okay, yes, Dad. All right.
Hate's a vicious word.
Very good. Fair enough. But there's a difference between real hate and sport hate.
Dislike.
Okay, we'll keep it.
Dislike is what we've got, and let's keep dislike. Okay. We can try something else.
No, it's okay.
Love and something else. I love something and I loathe something. What about loathe?
Love and loathe. I think we just stick with likes and dislikes. I blame myself for bringing it up.
Yeah,
This is why we have planning meetings, Liam. This is where you air these ideas, and when producer Charlie says there's no such thing as a bad idea, this is where you get your bad ideas out. I'm sorry I brought it on air.
But you know what? I think the listeners on the podcast would appreciate your honesty.
All right, there you go. Likes and dislikes. Regular season done. Next week, finals. Likes and dislikes.
I like that.